Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. If you'll take your seats, I think we'd like to get started. This session is designed to be a short presentation of the current status of the IRPA activities on radiation protection culture. Basically, it's a report of four working groups that have been developing a document. And then we will have some comments from some associate societies of IRPA that have told us they would like to make some short comments. And then we will have discussion. So the idea here is to get input from you on what IRPA has done so far and some ideas about where we might go from here and what would be helpful to you as members of IRPA. So we're going to start with a brief introduction by Bernard Le Guin, who's the chairman of the effort for IRPA, the Working Group on Radiation Protection Culture.
Well, so thank you so much to to be here for the second time, for the second part. During a few minutes, just to introduce our proposal. So it was 4 years ago in Buenos Aires that the French Society proposed to launch an IRPA initiative for enhancing radiation protection culture among the RP professional worldwide. I don't want to, because Ken will explain more in detail this part, but why RP culture? Just 4 points. First, to give visibility to the fundamentals. The notion to promote shared responsibility, we saw that in the first part too, to maintain the RP heritage, and to embed radiation protection in a process of RP culture delivering performance. Well, we have several meetings during the last 4 years. The first one was in Strasbourg in 2009, in May, with the German, Swiss, and the Australian Society and the French Society. On the other hand, so in one hand, this meeting, on the other hand, the Spanish Society organized also a meeting in June 2009 to discuss. We had our first meeting in Paris in December 2009 with 9 IRPA European Society, with also, but not only a representative from the society, but also representative from WHO with Maria Perez, and also with EAR, European ALARA Network, with Caroline Schieber. After, in November 2010, a second meeting in Korea, with 65 participants, but not only with the China, Japanese, Korean, and Malaysia, but also with participants from Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Thailand. And we had our second IRPA workshop on radiation protection culture in Charleston last year. With also several stakeholders, not only AS, but also Image Wisely, a representative from NRC, from FDA, and of course from IRPA-EC. We can say that we had several questions after Paris and Charleston meetings. First, what are the elements for the IRP culture and how could we define it? Is it possible to assess the IRP culture and what could be the criteria? How to engage the stakeholders, regulators, operators, professional organizations in the process of developing IRP culture? What is the role of IRP professionals and IRPA associated societies with regard to IRP culture? How is regional culture included and what are the criteria for success? So, in one slide, we determined the modus operandi of the working group on radiation protection culture in order to produce a preliminary draft for IRPA 13 Congress. We found, you can find it on the IRPA website, and we decided to have 6 chairpersons, and they have been appointed. So for the first working group was co-chaired by Ken and myself on elements of traits and elements for a definition of radiation protection culture. The second group, chaired by Stephen King, criteria of success. The third group, engage stakeholders and role of radiation protection professional and IRPA Associated Society by Bernd Lorenz. And the fourth one, work assessment tools, co-chaired by Marie-Claire Contone and Miguel Perez. So now, and that's why the goal of this session to discuss, but Ken explained very well this, and because the next step after this meeting is to prepare the second draft, and the idea is to have the IRPA guideline for 2014 for the Geneva and the other, all the regional congresses, because don't remember 2014, this is the 50th anniversary of IRPA. I just want to say one, I would like to dedicate this session to Eric Rice from NRC. He was, IRPA is a big family, and Eric was with us in February 2011 in Charleston. So that's all. Thank you.
So now, working group, please.
Okay, thank you. This was kind of a late decision to take over the first working group. We had a little problem with the chair of that working group, and so Bernard and I had to take the work that had been developed through that working group and put it together for this presentation. So I wasn't involved directly in developing the first working group's part of this document, but kind of bringing it together for this presentation. So the working group, I actually had assignments of two pieces of our original structure for putting this document together. And these two pieces were combined as a result of the workshops we had in primarily in Korea and the US. And it's combining the elements and traits of a radiation protection culture instead of having two separate pieces in the document. So this is basically an outline of what has been developed to go into this report, and it still needs to, of course, be put into a good text. But let me just go through it briefly. Culture comes from three sources, as shown on this slide. And you've heard a lot of this in previous presentations about what safety culture is and what radiation protection culture is as well. Beliefs, values, and assumptions of, and we're talking in this context in particular about an organization, because we're directing this document to radiation protection professionals and how they would interact in whatever organization they're working to develop a radiation protection culture within that organization. Later on, it may be expanded to interactions with the public, as some of the other presentations on the earlier session today pointed out. So it involves learning experiences of the group members as this organization evolves, and then the beliefs, values, and assumptions that are brought in by new members when new people come into the organization and when new leaders come into the organization. So it's not always a fixed culture. We talked a bit about what's meant by culture, and we need to put something in this in the document, what we're talking about when we say radiation protection culture. And it's, again, the ideas, beliefs, and customs that are shared and accepted. So the whole group needs to adopt this and buy into it. And then it's the complex whole of this series of values and beliefs that the people have, and that includes a lot of things, and they're all listed here, and I'm not going to go through them in detail, but it goes all the way from what they know to through what they believe, brings in their own moral values and habits that these people acquire as members of this society that is developed within an organization that's working. So the specific features are, there's a central value in the culture, and then there's a structure to that culture. The leadership has to develop and communicate and live a strong ethos, the fundamental and distinctive character of the group. Again, the organization that is being addressed here. Then there has to be a system to continue this culture from one generation to the next, or one set of workers to the new set of workers as they come in. That recalls education, transfer of knowledge, but also a transfer of the sense that radiation protection as part of a safety culture belongs to all of us. We all have a part in it. We all have responsibilities. It has to endure through time. Now, that doesn't mean it can't change. As I said, new members of the organization, new leadership in the organization may bring in new ideas. So things may change in the culture, but the basic system has to endure throughout the organization as time goes on. And it has to combine innovation, that's new ideas coming in, and conservation of the old ideas. So the history needs to be transferred as people leave the organization and new people arrive. That involves passing the culture on. And this is how we think it's done. There's basic assumptions that people should be taught as they come into an organization. They need to be taught what the paradigm is. Groups of people need to mentor the new members of their group as they come in. Share problems with them, share how they solved them, observe the effects of their solutions. The basic assumptions will stabilize the group as it moves through time in the organization. So we expect this culture to be a stabilizing function in the organization as new members come in and old members leave. So it involves not only this specific radiation protection culture, but it involves what the whole culture of the organization is. And some organizations, because of their leadership, have a good organizational culture, and people understand it. And they understand what the leadership demands of them, and they understand well how they participate in that culture, and they adopt it as part of their own way of working and dealing with other people in their organization. So that's a very important role for the leadership. And then for the employees, of course, the employees not only feel responsible for their own safety, but they feel responsible for their coworkers' safety. So they're looking out not only for themselves, but for other people also. And they're not shy about telling someone if they see them doing something unsafe or something that might put themselves as well as their coworkers in danger. And then the leadership supports that kind of activity. So how does it evolve? Well, there's some developmental systems, and we talked about these. The first step in this is basic compliance, and I think we've all been familiar with that for a long time. You've got some regulations, some laws, some structure that must be complied with. Otherwise, you get sanctions from your regulatory authority, you get the organization in trouble. Beyond that, then, there's a self-directed compliance system where the workers kind of understand what the regulations are and they make sure that the regulations are complied with. They don't depend on their management to tell them that they must comply. They take it on as a responsibility. But beyond that, we have a behavioral system, and that's what we have to work on for the real development of a culture. It's how the people behave in the organization, and they teach each other, they look for problems that could cause a real safety issue in the future. They inform their management. Their management accepts that without blame, without any kind of a punishment, and makes the changes that are necessary to
to make the workplace more safe and more protective of the workers. And then there's this whole idea of how safety culture and radiation protection culture fit together. And one of the ideas that was brought out, and it's not clear to me that everybody agrees with this kind of separation, but the idea is that safety focuses more on the system design to prevent the hazardous equipment from harming the worker when it's used. That involves a lot of engineering design of equipment, and we heard a lot about that on one of the talks earlier this afternoon about the safety system design for medical equipment, including all the built-in engineered safety functions. But then protection focuses more on the people and the behavior of those people to prevent harm to the worker and others when the equipment is being operated. So one kind of focuses on operating the hazardous equipment safely, and the other focuses on what you do once you've got a piece of equipment that's got a lot of engineered safety systems in it. You still have to put the culture in place, the behavioral system, with the people that are going to operate that equipment and work around that equipment to make them aware of the dangers, the hazards of the equipment, and what they need to do to make sure that they and their coworkers and others are protected when the equipment's being operated. This is an adaptation of the NRC table that you saw presented earlier today. I'm not going to go through it in detail. Basically, we took what the NRC had developed in terms of the 9 traits and the explanation within them about how it applies in safety culture, and we tweaked a few of the words to fit the radiation protection culture we're talking about. And then there's the issue of why we're interested. And we're interested because of this, okay? We want to embed radiation protection culture within an organization because it's the most effective way of delivering the performance. So we have these various points here of visibility, promotion, risk awareness, shared responsibility, maintaining a heritage of radiation protection, facilitating its transmission, improving the quality and effectiveness of radiation protection, and contributing to the general safety. Pattern of knowledge and behavior, science, values, and ethics all work into this. And there's been a significant effort in the last several years for bringing science and values together in radiation protection. But we find that there's no basic differences between the various sectors of industry and research where radiation is involved. They all the same traits and elements apply in all sectors. We need to develop a narrative in some common language that we can all understand. We have to build on the radiation protection principles that are in the recommendations of the ICRP. And we have to build on the history of radiation protection, so we can't lose that. And the feedback and experience that has come through the years, and build on that for the future. And we have to ensure competence and good education and good training. So for the professional, the professional is the one in the organization that needs to make the approach to management to get the culture in place and to get the support of the management in the development of the safety culture, radiation protection culture, whatever there is. So that is one of the reasons we believe that a guidance document like this could be very helpful and useful to the radiation protection professional in dealing and approaching management in instilling a radiation protection culture in the institution. So this is what needs to be developed. Relationship with management as well as the workforce. Then we have to go beyond to the relationship with the regulators and other relevant stakeholders that may be in the workplace. So that's part one.
Yeah.
So you have well understood this is an ongoing process. So let's go now to the second presentation by Stephen King from Hershey Medical Center. And he was in charge of a WG2 with Jorge Vallejo Melja from Colombia.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge that there was a group of people who helped in this. We all came up a series of ideas, and we kind of, George and I kind of fleshed this out. Unfortunately, I got to put my glasses on. So the creation of a positive radiation safety culture encompasses the entire organization from top down and needs to be integrated throughout the organization. Successful, sustained, positive radiation safety culture takes a comprehensive effort through the entire organization. And the efforts will vary from discovering any problems with your radiation safety program, maintenance and rules and regulations, testing to make sure education is retained, promoting positive reinforcement, audits. And the following listings are steps suggested to create, measure, train, and sustain a radiation safety culture program. These are not the end all, and I'm sure all of you can come up with other ideas, and we would welcome ideas because I think it would be great to build upon this. First thing I want to talk about is some organizational goals. And you want to actively participate in quality assurance programs, for example, Image Wisely, Image Gently. We have national accreditations in the United States, and I'm sure you have them in your area as well, to tell the public that you are being watched by another organization, that you have some quality built into your organization. Executives need to talk to talk. You got to make sure that, let me bounce back here. So another thing that we need to do is to celebrate positive achievements. We make sure that there's no accidents for a time period. We talk about it. Dose decreases for employees, we need to talk about it. Recognize good radiation safety practices organization-wide and make safety culture a day-to-day positive thing. Your executives need to talk. Make sure radiation safety is important. You need to allow employees to train during working hours. If indicated, allow employees to attend workshops and conferences. Purchase needed equipment. No tolerance for poor behavior. Management needs to back radiation safety officials who are trying to do their job. And please don't let politics influence radiation safety decisions. There needs to be clear, concise, and sound policies on radiation safety, and that will help incorporate a good radiation safety culture. Universal compliance with all safety items, no ifs, ands, or buts. All safety results must be accessible to the entire community. You need to be transparent. Everyone needs to know what's going on. You can't hide things. You involve the community in radiation safety, discuss positive aspects of the organization in the community, promote good health, using correct equipment and properly trained workers, and emphasize organization and worker certifications, advanced degrees, and other appropriate professional stature. Let people know that you have hired trained professionals. I'll get this right. Assessment of safety culture. You have internal rules and external rules and regulations, and you need to make sure that your internal policies are clear and concise. Training is held periodically. Testing is done to evaluate training efficiency or efficacy. And training is updated periodically, both for your internal policies and external regulations that you're held against. Your licensee tracking equals quality assurance. Internal radiation safety audits have to occur. You need to have inspections. You need to have audits, mandatory periodic equipment testing held to industry standards and performed by competent individuals. Radiation incidents such as spills, wrong injections, wrong patients, dosimetry are discussed. For example, in my institution, we have a community representative on our patient safety committee who can feed back. The community knows about our dirty laundry, knows what's going on. We don't hide it. (Clears throat) So external audits, the results are accessible to all people, deficiencies addressed quickly. We trend external versus internal identification at specific intervals. And we compare our percentage of external identification versus internal. We don't want to have an external group continually find problems that we don't find ourselves. So we want to make sure that we're working hard at that. We have identification of problems. Self-identification must be immediate, accurate, and in complete detail. And all information is available back to the affected areas. If there's a problem in an area, they need to know about it. And they need to participate in making that a better situation. Same thing with external identification. It needs to be the same way. Immediate, accurate, and complete detail. People need to know what they're doing wrong so that they can improve. There's a root cause identification that needs to occur. Feedback is sought from all parties. Results are given to all parties. And retraining speed is based on the severity of the incidents. In the case of retraining, non-penalty. We don't want to get after people who have problems. We want to help them. We use lessons learned are used for future training. We have a creative allegiance. For example, allowing the person who creates the problem or has issues to help prepare the lesson. Or to have a person involved in preparing training material. For example, someone who has a constant problem with hand dose, holding patients, help them prepare a pamphlet on how to properly hold a patient. Let them get information on that. Expect employees to take ownership of problems, help be the solution, have pride in the organization, and include your workers in problem-solving sessions. Ask workers for suggestions on how to solve problems. Allow workers to help train and promote individual expertise. Get people involved. That increases the pride in the organization and makes people a part of the whole effort for a radiation safety culture. And we felt that incentives for safe behaviors can actually occur and are actually helpful. For example, they should be inexpensive, individual or group-based, should have clear rules, and the rewards immediately after a good practice is noticed. For example, dose reduction. Set a very modest goal. If it happens, it's an easy win. You can hand out cards for a free lunch or something like that. Something that people can get excited about. To summarize, a successful, sustained, positive radiation safety culture takes a comprehensive effort. Does anyone have any questions at all? I know you probably have a lot more that you can come up with, but thank you.
Okay, we will have discussion after all the presentations, okay? So the after the working groups worked, we kind of reordered a little bit the flow of the proposed document, and so working group number 4 is going to report before working group number 3, and that's co-chaired by Marie-Claire Canton from University of Milan and the Italian Radiation Protection Society.
Yes, thank you. So the chapter 4 is focused on the identification of the best and optimal tools required to assess the level and quantity, of RPC. Indeed, we need to identify tools and, moreover, to find a priority in the criteria of success on which the assessment needs to be focused. And moreover, assessment tool can be seen as a combination of quantitative and qualitative aspects, and to be able to measure the identified criteria, and moreover, to stimulate judgment and observation about positive or negative trend for the given criteria, and even, if it is the case, to modify them. And There is a first part of this chapter 4, entering aspect of radiation protection culture. And so, for instance, telling them, despite the variety of culture and the context, and also for the activity, different activity considered, all the actors involved share common beliefs. There are the need to care for people and natural environment, and this is essential for a sustainable future. We can recognize different areas in which ionizing radiation is applied, medical, industrial, research, and third-party service, and at least we have three different ways to impact LPC in each area: by education and training, by creating positive and total awareness in radiation protection at working places, and by establishing an adequate and proper communication. In general, for culture, we can see that usual way to rise and establish certain level of culture are continuous education process, the assessed multimedia, and the effective communication among the all the actors involved. But this chapter continues to say that in case of radiation protection, we need to be more specific on this point. And there is a description in three different points: education and training, the working place in the sense of promoting a positive work environment based on mutual respect and based on shared understanding and so on the compliance to code of ethics. And then the third point of attention in this first part of chapter 4 is the choice for a proper communication. The document go inside in details for these three points, but I don't want now to go in this detail because I would like to give more time to discuss with you the part related to the assessment tool structures. So go ahead to the consideration that while implementing or trying to implement the above activities, the activities shown before, the three different activities in the various working environment, will still remain concerned about some aspects here detailed. So the level of conscientiousness that we are dealing with a physical agent, which are the facts and the aspect to be taken into consideration while going to evaluate the RPC status in a given facility, the level of information about the harm, the level of knowledge about low doses, and then about the objectives of personal dosimetry system and the presence of an effective communication. And this concludes the first part. So the first part of chapter 4 mainly refers to how to promote radiation protection culture and which are our specific concerns. Then now we can deal with the assessment tool structures, and so the document suggests, or the draft suggests, that assessment tool should be structured in a way that to obtain a picture of LP culture at a given time, but also to help in finding trends and progresses, or in case regressions in LPC. And so by crossing the area of views with the way of impacting of RPC, we can find a list of assessment tools. And in this draft, we realize to have at least four different levels to be considered. That is a national level for professionals, a national level for the public, in this case, awareness, and a local level, and in this chapter, just as the medical application are considered as an example, and then the level of the third parties, so industrial may be involved in RP equipment supply, as an example in this part. And now we will try to go through to the four different levels. So the first level at national level for professionals, the list of assessment tools include a program to identify numbers, types, and activities of the different professional association, and a program to collect the specific activity done for APC. And then the creation of a single web or multimedia point of contact in common with all the different associations at national level. Then to create a questionnaire to check the minimal RPC requirement in order to be member of an association. Then yearly survey on the number and number and types of training at national level, and a specific questionnaire on knowledge and comprehension for what is concerning the RP ethical code. The second level is a national level for the public awareness, and here we have only two assessment tools, a survey, an yearly survey on number and type of open to public meeting and event on radiation protection in the country, and then always number and type of articles published on newspaper, for instance, or consumer magazine. So for the public awareness, this is a point. And the same number and type of TV programs or in general multimedia communication for the public. The second point regards the standard method via questionnaire or self-assessment to collect the feedback coming from the public during the above point, so exposure not to radiation but exposure to RPC, radiation protection culture. So now we are with the third level, so it's a local level, and here as an example we have medical application. And so the list of assessment tools include to assure by a formalized procedure that the workers know the principle of radiation protection at the moment of the job contract or organize for training. And this is a point like a miserable point in radiation protection culture. Then the check if there is an established internal procedure for refreshing or introduce it, and the formal charge of the figure of RSO in order to give for them free way to teach and refresh, and formalize routine questionnaire to evaluate the worker RPC, and random check also to see what about the RPC for the patients. In the same level, so continuously with the medical application example, we have more assessment tools. So for instance, to act face-to-face interview, just to evaluate the real understanding, and to collect suggestions from the worker, and then a formalized way to collect suggestions and ideas coming from the workers, and then how to use it. And finally, this assessment tool is very, very important in the case of a medical application, but also in other kind of application, that is the check for the existence of non-punitive methods to declare and to track errors. And if the case, it should not present of this presence of this method, it is important to implement it. And now, the last of the first different levels, that is a level of the third part, for instance, industrial involved in the equipment supplied. And the question is how to measure the level of RPC in business people who are involved in supplying and installing ionizing radiation facility for the different application. So the first tool is that is important to assure that the facility was designed under RPC condition, and this is a point that claim for the involvement or regulatory commission. And other two assessment tools are recognized in this level, that is to establish a procedure requiring that company should be undergoing an external independent audit. And then the last point is the reviewing of the documentation then can give back information regarding what is the level of RPC for this third party. And as premises, the organization must have a complete and maybe redundant system of documentation in order to have a sufficient amount of information. So finally, this chapter 4 considers that some tools may be here described are general, so of general use, and can be extended to other conditions. We consider only the medical application, but can be extended also for other application. And maybe some more specific, peculiar tools is needed in particular condition for this. So thank you for your attention. And we are open to discussion, or maybe for the 3 points that I don't enter in detail, but we have, if somebody is interested, to discuss in the document.
Okay, thank you. Okay, finally, we will hear from the working group number 3 on how we engage stakeholders and the role of RP professionals in IRPA societies. The working group was chaired by Bernd Lorenz from GNS Nuclear Services in Essen, Germany, and a member of the Fachverband.
Yeah, thank you, Ken, dear colleagues. We had recently a very nice symposium in Germany about Fukushima, and there were some media experts presenting things. And one thing I learned there, you have 15 seconds to bring your message to you, to the people. I tried to do it in not 50 seconds, but not 15 minutes, and you will see how I succeed. The results of the working group 3, I'm not so much familiar with IRPA, also I'm in radiation protection for more than 30 years now. And I visited the workshop in Paris, and after this I was, where leaders from working groups thought, and I was a little bit maybe too fast to volunteer for the leadership, and the result was that the working group was very tiny.
And we are present as you accepted.
Yeah, it was so tiny that it's, yeah, you know. So forward. Okay, thinking about radiation protection culture, what occurs in your mind, what comes in your mind when you think about culture? Probably, well, classical music, or nice buildings, or even agriculture. Some may remember this group. So what comes into your mind when you think about radiation protection? So the situation is a little bit different. Yeah, something to do with danger. You have to protect against, even very, very strong protect. You have to control, you have to measure doses. So, and now we put these things together, and you see, what is the outcome? Well, a little bit shocking. So we want to avoid the situation, and so we need to have a stakeholder involvement and to explain what we mean by radiation protection culture, and to win you as ally. So, who are you? You are, at first, RP professionals, and the second, the media. This is also one story told from the Fukushima accident. The response in the media is not the best. Of course, there are some more parties, a lot of more parties, management, for instance. But the capacity of a small society, well, is very limited. So the proposal is to restrict for the first time to less people. So stakeholder involvement is well known, especially in the nuclear industry. And there are already a number of tools. We need not to repeat. I was, as I said, a little bit new with IRPA, that they have nice IRPA principles on stakeholder involvement. But there are also a lot of documents from the IEEE regarding this. You can read it, you can help it. In any case, you need some kind of plan. And what we heard in the morning session from the UK Society was a very good plan. What we heard from the NRC was also a very good plan. So this is quite simple, but the situation in every country is different. The culture is different worldwide. And so each associated society needs to find its own way, but with a common goal, which is maybe quite simple to be told, doing a good job as radiation protection professionals and being acknowledged to do so. Yeah, you find some other words for this if you look in the IRPA vision and mission, very interesting. Well, that's all what I wanted to say. Unfortunately.
Thank you, Bern.
This is not a picture from Scotland. I also attended Scotland, but it was not possible to find a rainbow here.
Okay, now for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to receive some reactions from some of the associate societies that have informed us that they have some responses to this initiative. So I will have Bernard introduce the next speakers.
So, in fact, when I send an email, I receive several emails, and that's why there is no real order. When I receive an email, I put the first name. So the first reaction that I received was from the Korean Association, and I would like to ask to Kun Woo Shu to present a few reactions about the first this first preliminary draft.
Good afternoon. My name is Cho from KARP, K-A-R-P, Korean Association for Radiation Protection. This afternoon, my message to you is that let's try to focus more on radiation protection culture for the public. This is my suggestion was based on my personal experience during the past 1 year after Fukushima accident. And this afternoon, I'd like to share a little bit background information on the perception of radiation risk by Korean public after the Fukushima nuclear power plant accident. You know, since March, the interest of the public in radiation risk in Korea has been significantly heightened, and public, they began to buy radiation detectors and to measure radiation levels in their living environment, and some of them, the public, had found in Seoul a public road contaminated by cesium-137. Cesium-137 is an artificial isotope, so it is not supposed to be in the ascone in the public road. But just the public, he found the road which is contaminated with cesium-137. And also the other person found that the kitchen utensil, which is made of stainless steel, originally imported from China as a raw material and fabricated in Korea, was contaminated with cobalt-60. And also it was found, in the market by the public. And also a public found that there was a loss of shield integrity in an entity facility, and also the failure of isolation of iodine-131 therapy patient, and which led to abnormally high dose rate in public area, though it was during the very short time. And also some medical doctors, especially in the areas of occupational and environmental medicine, they argued in the public debate hosted by the news media, which was initiated by that discoveries, and they argued that there is no such safe level in radiation exposure because of the LNT model. And also, anti-nuclear activist groups such as Anti-Nuclear Medical Doctor Association was founded, and the groups consisted of intellectual peoples such as university professors. So it was a very new movement in Korea. And also through the well-developed social network system in Korea, the internet. So during the last 1 year, several anti-nuclear web communities of general public, such as Child Save, who are the housewives, are very much interested in their children. And also the other, internet community, No Live Less, such, internet web communities, they have been formulated and continue to work very actively and to read. They started to lead the public opinion on the radiation risk. And also, for the first time, Greenpeace Korea was formulated maybe a few months ago, and they started to function in Korea. And also, and recent covering up of a station blackout incident, which is the exactly same incident of Fukushima nuclear power plant. It happened at Gori Unit 1, and it was found to be initiated by the lack of safety culture. So from these happenings, radiation protection professionals in Korea, we learned that there is non-expert experts. Non-expert experts means that they are not a real radiation protection expert, but they are pretending to be the expert, and they caused the confusion and misconception. Especially, they exaggerate the risk of low doses. So this can happen, especially in a country such as Korea, who has no cultural background of discussion and debate. So we feel that there is a strong and urgent need to disseminate correct information about the harms of ionizing radiation and the knowledge of how the low dose can be harmful to the health. So we have to rethink the need of public dose limit. Of course, occupational dose limit is essential. However, we have to rethink that the need of public dose limit and also the use of the limit in describing the radiation dose level. So perhaps in this regard, my suggestion is that the guidance, ORPA document of chapters 3, 4, and 5 maybe could be further elaborated in order to strengthen the radiation protection culture context for the public. Thank you very much.
Just a first comment. That's true that when we began this work, we said that we are IRPA, and IRPA must be the voice of IRP professional. And we focus our job for the professional much more than for the public. We have several discussions about that. It was not easy to decide, but the first step was to say, well, this guideline must be for the professional, and of course we are in touch with the public, but not, but it was before Fukushima accident, and that's true that it's a very important topic that you mentioned, but that's true that we didn't take it into account because we didn't focus on this. And so now I would like to ask to Fernando Gonzalez from the Spanish Association to come, and remember Fernando organized the second meeting in Spain when we had our first meeting in Strasbourg.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The Spanish RP Society has created a working group to commit this draft. This group has held two meetings to prepare a specific report with the reaction of the Spanish society. People working in this group come from different sectors, from consultancy, research and development and training, graduate management, commercial activities, public health, and nuclear energy. We have prepared a specific report in Spanish, and in some moment we will translate to English, and we give a copy to to this working group. The final report has been approved by the Spanish RP Society Management Board. First, I would like to recognize the effort and the value of the work performed by the working group to prepare this first preliminary draft. I think the work done under this initiative of IRPA will contribute to improve the RP results, the current RP results and the future RP results in our facilities and activities. Second, I would like to speak about safety culture and RP culture. Safety culture is a concept universally accepted. It has been defined by several organizations, institutions, IAEA, IMPO, WANO regulators, and there is a common understanding about its meaning. Safety culture includes all types of safeties. Nuclear safeties, security, radiological protection, health physics, labor safety, and so on. RP culture should be considered in our business as the implementation of RP principles inside the framework of a safety culture. Concerning each specific working group, Working Group 1, we propose to include the organizational culture definition of Edgar Schein, because we think it's fairly consistent with the purpose of this guidance, and it has been used in several documents like TechDoc 1329. Concerning safety culture, we propose to mention all the types of safety and the radiological protection safety and specific characteristics of the total safety. There are several safety culture models. If a specific model like this one based on NRC, based on elements and traits, is included, we think that it should be included in an attachment, not in the body of the guidance, because there are other models as useful as this one. And finally, we think that the structure of this chapter or this part should be developed based on four cornerstones. The first one is the organizational culture definition. The second one, safety culture definition. The third one is are the elements of trace of the unspecific model. And the last one, how the RP principles are reinforced by a strong or positive safety culture. Concerning the working group two, we think that this criteria or key for success should be grouped. Here we propose to use as a reference or a similar system that the IAEA used for that criteria for success. Individual commitment, questioning attitude, communication, and so on, manager's commitment, policy level commitment. In this part, the draft seems to describe a continuous improvement model with only two specific characteristics, goals and assessment. We think that the current continuous improvement model are based in three different steps. Performance monitoring, including assessment, indicators, observation programs, etc., analyze and plan solutions, and finally, implementation of solutions. The culture and the leadership are the engines that move these processes. Concerning the working group 4, assessment tools, I think there are several items that should be integrated in the previous part. This part should be rewriting, taking into account working group 2 and 3. We propose to describe the different types of assessment: self-assessment, independent assessment, third-party assessment, and we propose to include an assessment matrix with reference of specific tools in attachment. Concerning stakeholders' engagement, we think that it's necessary to revise the consistency with the stakeholders' guide, because there are some small inconsistencies. The role of regulators regarding to the development of a stakeholder involvement strategy should be described. And finally, the role of RP professional and IRPA associated societies should be revised because there are some specific items that cannot be fulfilled by all the societies, like follow the NRC approach. Finally, we propose to re-elaborate the introduction and conclusions. We think that should be clearly described the scope of this guide, and the conclusions should be rewrite according the guide is being developed. Thank you.
Okay, please, Frank Hardeman now on behalf of the Belgium Associated Society.
I just would like to make a comment at this point. We still have quite a few responses to go, and the time is getting short. If we're going to have any time for discussion, we have to have much shorter presentations than we've had so far. Okay.
I'll try to be very concise. Thank you. So yes, this is on behalf of the Belgian Radiation Protection Association, and we have three groups of comments. One is as regards process and scope. As regards the process, we are very pleased with the initiative, and we certainly welcome it, and we think there is a need for it. So basically full approval of the process. We would also recommend to foresee an open consultation process on the next draft, a bit the ICRP-style approach of consulting afterwards still. And then we come to the scope, and we think that although it was presented more globalized, I think, today, the text is a little too much on the nuclear industry and occupational exposure, while also the medical, the norm, and so on certainly are important. But as said, it was already better during this presentation. But we also think there should be some more explicit extension to releases, environmental impact, and so on, which is not really dealt with in the text so far. We also think that the more holistic approach linked to security, environmental issues, and so on, as already mentioned also by our Spanish colleague, is important. And we also think, that there is some guidance already existing, and the distinctions between all the types of cultures certainly should be clarified. As regards contents, the BVS ABR regrets a little that justification and optimization, though they are mentioned and referred to, are only marginally referred to. We think they still have an added value to be elaborated more explicitly, even in a widening context and scope as it is going. And we would also like to see a little more explicit reference to the ethics, to the elaboration of the transparency concept, maybe using a model like RISCOM, a Swedish approach, and also that we would like to see more the precautionary approach in some of these aspects of risk assessment and management. And finally, but this is maybe rather a detail, but we think that the text would gain if it would be restructured a bit and have short, concise guiding principles, including concise attempts for definitions of safety culture, radiation protection culture, LARAP culture, and so on, and then have all the implementation guidance, criteria for success, and so on, to make this as a kind of implementation notes and annexes. And that's all I want to say here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So now, Sandro Sandri, per l'Associazione Italiana di Radioprotezione.
Yes, I'll be very, very quick. I'll try to be as short as I can. We collected some comments from our community, Italian community, about this subject, and we have some general comments about the document. We think that an executive summary should be very, very useful to introduce the document and to outline the main points that are developed inside it. And then what about considering also non-ionizing radiation that we think that are not very well considered in the document, and also the security aspects as the same treatment that in this work. About the introduction, when there is the sentence that the solution worked and when the solution worked and are considered valid, they are absorbed and accepted by new members. This seems strange because the culture building process has to be seen as a two-way process according to the comment we collected. Not only the culture influences our perception, thoughts and feelings, but everyone to contribute to the evolution of the culture. The culture built and created so far is our base, but also adapting it to external changing conditions and situations is part of the base. And also, it should be better stressed and developed that beliefs, values, and assumptions are also brought in by new members. About the criteria of success, the documents refer mainly to, refer to radiation protection culture. And in the first part, it explains the focuses on safety and protection. But part three seems actually not consistent with the only radiation protection culture. As you can see, about 12 times are used terms like radiation safety culture, radiation safety culture, and so on. The relationship between safety culture and radiation protection culture should be a distinctive peculiar point in this document. Then about the assessment tools, the beginning of part four appears to cover also subjects which seems referring to part three, and therefore it might be useful to move and integrate some aspects within the two parts. And about the part five, stakeholders and societies, this part is dealing with stakeholder involvement, seems emphasizing too much the nuclear aspects. In addition, it could be adequate to spend a few words about involving stakeholders, but for doing what? For example, one point could be the involvement for radiation protection decision-making processes. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you. So the French Society with Jacques Lombard now.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dear colleagues and friends, as you know, when your intervention is close to the end of the list, the probability of repeating ideas is rather high, so please be indulgent with me. My first sentence will not be really a surprise for you, saying that the board of the French Society is in favor of the document. Nevertheless, we have few, let's say, remarks, comments, up to you, I don't know. I think that the focus of professional could be enlarged to discuss how radiation protection culture could be developed to cope also with the public. I think it's important, it has been already said, especially for the medical field and also collaboration with media and schools. Also, it's important to enlarge the scope. I think also, as it has been said, it's interesting to enlarge this document also for the non-ionizing radiation, as my Italian colleague said. And it could be useful that in the chapter 4 or 5 could be identified as a proposal for an action plan for the associate society, because it it's important for an associate society to do, to know exactly what to do with this document. And maybe an annex of an annex of an annex could introduce some example of actions performed by various associate societies. Just as an example with, for the French society, my aim is not really to make propaganda, but I think it could be useful for the various societies to know what has been done and, of course, to give the opportunity to the other society to benefit from the various actions we have already made. So just for us, we have already performed various leaflets. They are available on our site. And some have been already used by other societies, like the Spanish. The group concerning non-ionizing radiation in France is a little bit lucky because when they organize meetings, they have the opportunity to give an evening lecture with medical doctor in partnership with a health regional network. We can't do that for the ionizing radiation, but it's important, I think, to have discussion with the medical doctors. We also organize meeting with medical association, and I think it's important to make joint meeting with other associations to enlarge and to mix the various culture. And in France, basic radiation process, radiation protection officer working in a small hospital far from Paris, have always some difficulties to understand all the subtlety of our regulation, and we make specific meeting for them every 2 years, and it's very important for them. Thank you for attention.
And now the last presentation from the Argentinian Society with Ana Maria Bomben.
Yeah. Good afternoon, dear colleagues. Yeah, it's a pleasure to address this audience on behalf of the Argentine Radiation Protection Society. SAR celebrate this IRPA initiative to deal with radiation protection culture with remarkable professionalism and a multidisciplinary work. Radiation protection culture has been always a topic of high interest for SAR. Has been included in all the courses and meetings SAR deliver. So, education and training, stakeholder engagements, and also communication. SAR considered that these IRPA guiding principles for establishing radiation protection culture will be an essential tool to plan future strategies. And to give visibility to this IRPA initiative, as has been offered during the workshop in Charleston last year, SAR offered to translate into Spanish all the documents, draft documents, to receive comments from Spanish-speaking professionals, and the final document to give a wide promotion of it. So just the opposite. Spanish society, Spanish into English, and we English into Spanish.
Muchas gracias por el proposal.
It has been offered, and we are ready to do it. And also, SAR offers a wider promotion of these guiding principles by hard copies, website, and meetings. And I would like you also to share with you an activity that the Forum of Iberoamerican Radiological and Nuclear Regulatory Authority started last year to promote and develop radiation protection culture in practices involving the use of ionizing radiation. When this activity was proposed, these guiding principles were still being discussed by IRPA. And in order to avoid the duplication of high valuable work, forum decided to review this proposed activity after IRPA 13 or after we have a final document. And to take these guiding principles as a starting point for this activity of radiation protection culture in practices. SAR consider that radiation protection culture is a starting point. It's an essential tool, but also is a goal to reach. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much. Now, several associated society decided also to react, but without slide. And I receive possibility from comments from the German Swiss Society, Bernd Lorenz.
So it's me again, another head now. 15 seconds, probably. First of all, the positive message is that the German-Swiss Fachverband welcomes the initiative. The second message is the text had not reached the heads of the members, to say it in this way. There is some potential for improvement to make the paper a little bit more structured. To avoid too much redundancies, perhaps, and to make clear what safety culture means or radiation protection culture means, and to have some sort of roadmap that the people can see what they want or what they have to do. This was not possible in this short period of time to discuss within our Fachverband, and so we are able to shape a little bit, and we have heard a lot of things today, a lot of expectations also, but for the moment we are not so happy with the paper as it is now. Thank you.
And now reaction for the SPR for the UK and Rick, or no, this is Anne, okay.
I'm Rick Hallard, by the way. He's at another meeting, unfortunately. In reporting back for the UK, we support the initiative. Rick has already presented in this forum a lot of what the work was. So in summary, basically, we feel that we need to be clear in this initiative that the radiation protection culture is seen within the other safety culture, wider safety culture requirements. We feel that we should be concentrating on supporting the radiation professional in developing safety culture within their organisation, whether it be medical or industrial or whatever. And that actually keys into communication skills. So again, identifying for the radiation protection professional the type of activities that they can engage in to ensure that their own leaders in the organisation they are in are clear on the professional way of applying radiation protection measures in a radiation protection culture way. We feel that the document needs to go some further to the different roles of the radiation protection advisor, and again, assisting them to develop the skills in that area. But we do strongly support the initiative. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if there is someone from the Austrian society, finally, because he was not so sure. No? So we open the discussion for the last 10 minutes.
Yes, we have about 10 minutes now for discussion. Please use the microphone because this is being recorded. And we would like to record your comments.
It's always difficult at the end.
Yes, right. Does anyone have some comments to make on the development of the document that this...
A young professional, Roger.
Oh, yes.
Roger Coates, from the UK, but not necessarily representing SRP. This is a personal view, and it will come as no surprise to Bernard and Ken. The one problem I have with the document as it stands is that I believe it's trying to address in one document and one work programme two essentially distinct issues. It's trying to address the workplace radiation culture, right? How you get a good radiation protection culture engaging with the workforce in the workplace. And it's trying to address the public understanding and perception of radiation. And I believe that these are both very important issues, and they're both issues that should be on our agenda, but we are making our life far too difficult by trying to wrap them up within the same document. We can deal with the workplace culture without having very much interaction at all with the media and public understanding, right? But we've got to deal with a different set of issues if we're going to make progress in public perception and public understanding. The approaches will be different, the subject will be different, the historical background and the link to the wider literature and experience out there is tapping into different parts of the system. So my view is that we should recognise that there are two distinct issues here. They are both important issues, yes, but we're trying to do too much in one particular document. Personal view.
Thank you, Roger. Anyone else? Here's one. Rodolfo.
Rodolfo Cruz Suarez from the International Atomic Energy Agency. In addition to the agreement, general agreement that I believe is on the document, I fully support all the comments by the Spanish colleagues and all the others. I would like to highlight an overlap that needs to be clear in the document. It's safety culture and quality management system. In many of the parts, mainly in Chapter 3, you see almost a repetition of elements that belongs to the quality management system and not should not be or are not part of the safety culture as the agency is presenting it. This is in addition to all the other comments. I mean, the terminology issue, the timeline that is needed, the repetition of safety culture, radiation protection culture. You even used a word, field culture, in the conclusions. That is not clear. And the second comment I have is that it's an information for you. In Latin America, we have a regional project on occupational radiation protection, and we organized a meeting in March this year on safety culture in radiation protection. And we invite the nuclear sector. We invite colleagues from Spain, from Brazil, and from Mexico to present the lessons learned in safety culture in the nuclear sector. And then we brought the information into the radiation protection community. And now we have a plan for the next 2 years to try to disseminate all these lessons learned within the radiation protection community. We were waiting for the document also. But if the document will not be there, we will continue with the plan that is in place, and maybe Latin America could be serve as a platform for testing all these guiding principles. We even developed a tool, an assessment tool, and we apply this to the participants in the meeting. Then it's an action that is ongoing there, and we would like to expand this, certainly, with your guidance. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodolfo. Yes, Pablo. Yeah,
may I have just a comment? Rodolfo, I don't know if you were in the first session when Josie presented the NRC approach. And particularly, there is an important table with 9 traits. And the quality assurance is one of these 9 traits. So quality assurance is not culture, but a part of the culture. And of course, we have the other traits, transparency, education, and so on.
Yes, Pedro Carbonera, Spain. I just would like to make an additional comment, trying to avoid an old mistake we made in the past, to see safety and radiological protection as two different things.
No,
safety culture, radiation protection culture, has absolutely everything in common. On the other hand, culture And culture, somebody mentioned this morning, culture is, in a very plain manner, the way we do things here. And I will add, when nobody is watching us. So it's something you make genetically, naturally. So culture is just one. Safety culture, radiation protection culture are absolutely two sides of the same coin. Of course, there will be some peculiarities in radiation protection, and we should take advantage of the unique radiation protection system existing worldwide. But we should avoid to establish a competition in between safety and radiological protection. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Any other discussion? Yes, one more here.
Jeroen Welbergen, Holland. There is some difference, Pedro, between safety culture and radiation protection culture, because, and that's a legal matter. In my country, radiation protection is a lex specialis, which means it is obligatory. And in safety, it's an occupational law. And in line management, everybody's responsible for that. So there's a little difference, but I agree with you that all the cultural things are the same.
Thanks for that. Bernard?
Well, in fact, you can see that in the first draft we have completely included the NRC approach, because there is only one philosophy. But if we have exactly this discussion in Charleston, because our approach, it's a broad approach, a worldwide approach, and that's why we take into account that we are IRPA, International Radiation Protection Association. But of course, there is no problem, and Pio, don't worry about that. There is no two systems, there is only one, but there are sometimes several jobs, that's why.
Okay, we're almost to the end of the program. I want to thank everybody for participating in this, and I thank you for all your comments. I think Bernard and I both realize that the document that we talked about today is a very preliminary thing. It's mostly an outline, mostly has ideas, and it needs a lot of sorting out, a lot of editing, and a lot of writing work to make it a coherent document that's going to be valuable, and we expect that we will have something more like a report document for discussion in detail at the regional congresses in 2014. I mean, we're not on as fast a time track as you would like us to be on, Rodolfo, but we have to engage all our associate societies, and there is only a limited way we can do that. So it's going to take some time for us to develop this document, and I agree. I certainly agree with what Roger said. I don't believe we can combine the public and the workforce safety cultures in the same document. But I think it's a good idea to have both in mind as we develop the document we have. Okay, so thank you again for all your input and your comments, and hopefully we'll be able to work something out with the IRPA website to engage you even more between our congresses on the discussion of this document.